First Peter chapter 5 verse number 7. The Bible said, cast all your cares upon him. You need to know that he cared for you. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of God. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your presence here. Lord, we thank you for our men. Thank you for their leadership. And thank you for the opportunity to come together for fellowship. Now I pray that you will use me to be a blessing to everyone. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your anointing this morning. Help me to proclaim the word of God in the ears of men. Have your way in this house. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, How to Deal with Worry. How to deal with worry. In other words, there is something in our life that is called worry. Worry does not discriminate. Christians and non-Christians have to face him. Black and white have to confront him. And my assignment is to make sure that you as a child of God know exactly what to do when you're facing this giant called worry. You might be wondering, why do we have to face worry? Or you might be the kind of Christians living in denial, saying, no, I don't have to deal with worry. Well, let me briefly show you how worry show up. Sometimes it will show up in our health. Maybe you've never experienced it, but every now and then, the doctors will run a test. And sometimes, you have to wait until the result comes back. During that time, you worry. Am I telling the truth this morning? Maybe not you, but I have found myself as a pastor in the waiting room while surgery is going on. And I have to stay with the family. And I've seen panic and worry in their face. Well, let me confess to you, even though I'm the pastor, I'm there too, worried. Worry is not a joke. But the good news is that God has the answer for us to deal with. Sometimes you don't even have to be in the hospital to have to worry about your health. Sometimes they will just send you a report. And they will let you know, now this is your diagnosis. And sometimes those diagnoses will cause you to worry. I will not be surprised. There are many people under the sound of my voice this morning that have some kind of diagnosis or prognosis that is not so good. It will cause you to worry. I don't mind sharing with you, this is not just something that affects members only. Even in my own life, I've had to deal with this monster called worry. I remember some years ago, I was told they have to do a CAT scan. Well, I really didn't know what they're talking about. They said they would do a cauterization of my heart. I said, doctor, break it down to my level. I'm still not feeling it. Well, they said they're going to put me to sleep. Right there, I began to worry. They also told me they're going to insert a tube inside of me. One of my members, Brother King, he was there with me. He's probably somewhere in the choir, I don't know. And he kept encouraging me, pastor, everything will be all right. But I didn't like what I was hearing.
Testify, sir.
They told me they're going to cut somewhere in my groin.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they said they're going to put an x-ray something to look inside the arteries. And they're going to pour some dye through my whole system to see if there's a blockage. And then I was told, now if we find a blockage, then we're going to have what we call open heart surgery. How many of you know that will cause you to worry? So when I talk to you about worry, when I ask you to pay attention, it's for your own good. Sometimes worry will come in various forms. Sometimes when you go through all this procedure, you may not make it. I never will forget one of my members, a precious sister. She's in heaven right now. She used to sing right in the choir, Sister Shudder. And I was at the hospital with her. The family was praying. We were praying together. The doctor said, Reverend, can we see you privately? I said, sure. And they pulled me behind the curtain. And then they told me, this is what we're going to do. This is a serious procedure. This is how long it's going to take. And by the way, Reverend, your member may not make it. It will cost you as a pastor to worry. Worry is a beast. And if you don't know what God has in stock for you, how to deal with it, worry will whoop your behind. Not just in the health area, even in financial area. It is not funny when bills are due and you have no money to pay your bills. It will cause you to worry. It's not funny when you try to live the best you can and all of a sudden you're dealing with job loss. You used to be employed, and all of a sudden, bam, you have no job. It will cause you to worry. Then there are things that happens unexpectedly. You didn't fight it. You didn't plan for it. You didn't see it coming. Something will break down. And they will tell you it's going to cost so much money that was not in the budget. It will cause you to worry. Worry sometimes don't show up in the area of finance. It will show up on your job. Sometimes worry will show up in your career. All of a sudden, you went to school, you get your diploma, but now you still have to file applications. And then they invite you for job interview. It will cause your heart to pump. Worry will knock on the door. You don't know what they're going to ask you. You don't know how many people is being interviewed. You don't know if it's going to be a good or bad experience. Worry sets in. And even after you finish your interviews, then they'll say, well, we'll let you know. That waiting period will cause you to worry. Do I have a witness in the house? And maybe you have a good job. I'm happy for you. But worry again will show its ugly head when it's time for you to be evaluated. Because now you are at the whim of somebody's opinion. Sometimes will show up its ugly head in times of promotion.
Come on, sir.
It's not a funny thing when you've been on the job for years and it looked like somebody passed you by. Yeah. It will cause you to worry. And some of you may be here today, you say, well, Pastor, I ain't got no job. I don't have no bills. I don't have no health problem. You ain't talking about me. Maybe you're at school right now. Even sometimes to get in school, when you have to submit applications, and you have to wait on some people to make a decision that can affect your future, it will cause you to worry. And if you manage to make it, you got admission to school, then you still have to deal with examinations. Now there are some tests you take, there are some exams you take that will cause you to worry. Because whether you make it in that career, whether you go to the next class, it depends on the result of that exam. I'm trying to make sure you understand how this thing called worry operates. Then I can tell you how you're going to deal with it. I don't want you to be living in a bubble to think, oh, it's them, not you. Worry comes before everybody. Even in relationship, a little argument will set in, and then you begin to wonder if you still have a boyfriend. Or maybe it's just me now. Have you ever found yourself texting somebody and you're getting a bubble, and all of a sudden the bubble stuck? Then you begin to wonder, did I do something wrong? Maybe I should have inserted a heart.
Make a plan, sir.
Maybe I'm just talking about me. Then it will cause you to go back and read all the texts and say, maybe I said something. Maybe because the bubble had stopped. Where to rekindle the excitement, something you put LOL. And yet you're not getting. Maybe I'm just talking about the pastor today. It will cause you to worry if you still have a relationship. Even in the family. Even when you're raising children. Sometimes you don't know if you are being too harsh. You don't want to leave scars in the life of your children that you will regret forever. And sometimes you don't want to be too soft either. Because if you're soft on your children, the police will not be soft. So you worry even when the children are not in your presence. Some of them in another state, in another city. You really don't know what's going on. Many of you parents, under the sound of my voice, you deal with worry. And this is one church where we don't just get you saved on your way. We want to equip you. We want you to be mature so that you can stand tall in the real world. Brother Pastor, now I get it. Then the question must be asked, what is worry? I see what you're talking about, Brother Pastor, but what is this monster called worry? My brothers, my sisters, worry, in my opinion, is just a noise in your head.
Yes. Help us, sir.
And while nobody is hearing, you can hear him loud and clear. Worry, what is worry? I will call it the fear of the unknown. You're concerned about something. It hasn't happened yet, but you worry about it. Another way I would define worry, because I want everybody to know what we're talking about, is what I call the what if. What if I didn't make it? What if I didn't make the cut? What if I fail? Some people, we may have the question, what if I fall? What if things don't work out between me and Brother Baba? Worry, my brothers, my sister, is a silent killer. Your neighbor may not even see it, but that noise is ringing in your head. Worry affects the mind. It can affect your emotion. It can affect your body. It can affect your dream. It can affect your sleep at night. While everybody around you is snoring, you're wide open because you're worried about something. Worry can even affect your blood pressure. I'm not a doctor, at least not a medical doctor, but worry can affect your blood sugar. Ain't nobody shouting now. In fact, if you talk to those folks that work in the hospital, they will tell you many people died, not because of the diagnosis, but because of worry. Worry, from spiritual standpoint, is faith in negativity. You find yourself facing the reality of something the Bible never talked about. You find yourself concerned about things that has not yet happened, but you're worried about it. One day, now that we know what worry's about, I want us to look at it from the Word of God. One day, Jesus was visiting his friends. You all know where he hang out, in Bethany. His friend was Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And he would often go to their crib just to hang out. One day he was there, just do what he does best. Every time he show up, people would gather and he would be teaching them the Bible. Well, while he was teaching, Mary was sitting right there with everybody, listening to Jesus teaching. But Martha was in the kitchen, cleaning, cooking. Am I still in the Bible? But Martha noticed that her sister Mary is not helping, not there to wash the dishes, not there to serve or prepare the table. Sister girl was just there in the crowd, giggling. Now, I perceive that Martha and Mary, they're probably black folks. That's just me thinking through this. You can just imagine Martha's reaction. Doing all the work, and the other girl is not there. So at some point, Martha went and said, "Hey, heifer, am I missing something? You're sitting there." Martha was very upset. I know black people. I'm one of them. There are some things we don't play with. Well, Jesus responded to Martha. Notice what Jesus said. Open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 41. Jesus said to Martha, he said, "Martha, Martha, Martha. He said, you worry and you are troubled by too many things." Take note of that word. You worry and you are troubled by too many. Here you are freaking out. That's what I'm preaching about today, about worry. Jesus knew about this problem. And you know the problem of many Christians? Many of you under the sound of my voice, you look pretty, you smell good, but you worry about not a few things. Jesus spotted that demon in Martha. It's a spirit. And if you don't know how to confront it, you'll find yourself worrying. Some people worry about many things. Some people worry about everything. Jesus said you worry over too many things. Now, the good news, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus have a lot to say about worry. The main recorded sermon of Jesus Christ He preached many sermons, but the one recorded in your Bible, he talked about worry 6 times. I want you to pay attention to what he said so that you know if Jesus said it, that's somebody who really knows how you're going to handle this problem. 6 times he used that word worry. And 3 times he said to people, you, me, everybody, do not worry. So the next time worry comes in your head, remember what your God said about it. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mountain. He said to everybody, he said, do not worry about life. He said, do not worry what else? What you're going to eat. Make sure that's in your Bible. He said, do not worry what else? What you're going to drink. He said, don't worry about your body. What you're going to wear. Oh, Lord, ladies, are you listening? Maybe this is just in my own house. Let me use this side of the. We'll be getting ready to go somewhere. And I'll be looking at my wrist, well, what is causing this hold up? And before I find out, we're still trying to decide what we're going to wear. I don't mention nobody's name. Because I have to eat lunch. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Make sure that's in your Bible. A lot of things that is driving you and me nuts, Jesus specifically said, don't worry. Ladies and gentlemen, notice what it says in verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus is still preaching. You think your pastor is the only one that repeats himself. Now you're going to see where you're learning from. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, same sermon. Jesus said again, just in case somebody was not listening. He said, do not worry about what? What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? What you're going to wear? Thank you, Pastor. Make sure it's in your Bible. I'm taking my time today. Today, by permission of the Holy Spirit, I want to kill that demon of worry in this house. That we're going to live free. Because worrying is not of God. Look at, again, Jesus is still preaching. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just leave. It's good to be free. I've been delivered of this demon. I want every member of my church to be free of this. Oh, how are we going to pay our rent? How are we going to, how this, what if this, what if that? What? calm down. God himself said, don't worry about tomorrow. And you know the amazing thing about God? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus, now you can see where your pastor get his style of preaching. He began to make sense to people. That even a little child can understand it. He said, look at the birds. Make sure it's in your Bible. He said, they don't sow. They don't reap. They have no barns, no storage. And yet God, that's right, Pastor, God take care of them. If God take care of the birds, you know he'll take care of you. Somebody open your mouth, shout amen. Shout amen. Amen. So here you are, you're worrying about your child. Oh, my child. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my son. Oh, what's going on? And the Bible says, don't worry. Somebody needs to be delivered today. You call yourself a child of God, you're on your way to heaven, but you are punishing yourself. Birds, they don't pray. In case you don't know, I never see any birds say, oh, Lord. Birds, they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Birds are not made in the image of God. You got the Bible, you saved. You sanctify. You fill with the Holy Ghost. You are blessed. You are made in the image of God. And yet you're worrying. Every sparrow, God take care of it. That's why we say, I sing because I'm happy. You can be freaking out, but I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, he's on the sparrow. And I do I have a witness in the house? I know he watches me. People ask me, Pastor Josh, how come you get on TV every morning and you're smiling? Don't you know what's going on in the stock market? Don't you know what's going on in Washington? Don't you know what's going on in Baton Rouge? I sing because I'm happy. Do I have a witness in there? Are you? Ask your neighbor, are you happy? Stop freaking out. Be happy. God's got you. If he can take care of the eagles and the sparrows, bluebird, mockingbird, he got your back. I can close my book and go home. Are you still here? Jesus is still trying to help somebody. Look at verse 27, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus asked in his sermon, which of you can add 1 minute, 1 second to your life? Some of you, you are worrying so much now, you can't even leave. You know, bunch of my children there in the medical field. Oh, Dad, you cannot eat that. Oh, you can't touch that. If I go by those keys, I won't eat. No, there'll be no food in there. That one is not good for you. Oh, this one will kill you. Oh, one time I fool around, I say, okay, tell me which one is better, McDonald's or Burger King? I'll be trying my best to work with them, you know. One of them told me, I won't mention nobody's name. They say, it depends on how quickly you want to die. Lord Jesus. The Bible says, none of us can add one cubit to our life. In case you don't get it, verse 28, Jesus is still preaching. He said, look at the lilies. What about the lilies? They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet they are clothed better than the richest man in the whole world. God is saying to you, to me this morning, if he can take care of the lilies, will he not take care of you? That's verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus said, if God can clothe the lilies, will he not take care of you? Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. I feel good this morning. My boss on the job, that's what I preach to him. I said, listen to me, dog. I have a word from the Lord. Don't worry about that thing. If you learn to receive what I'm preaching to you today, your life will never be the same again. The Bible said, this Jesus, he said in verse 31, he said, your father knows that you need these things. God knows your light bill is due. God knows that your mortgage is due, your rent is due, your school fees is coming up, your bill is past due. Verse 30. Don't worry about it. I don't know about you. I will hear things that cause me to see things, but I choose not to worry about it. This building you are in, the foundation got messed up. I didn't worry about it. In case you don't know, we have to spend so much money. This house here is on a special foundation. If you put it in the ocean, this building will float. It costs arms and legs. I never worry one single day. God is big enough to pay your bills. Are you listening to me? I heard this, I heard that, but I choose not to worry about it. I lost my job. Are you listening to me? I never worry about it. The same God who brought me here with no dime in my pocket. I heard the choir sing. They set me free. They said if he did it before, He can do it again. I received from that choir. My life has never been the same again. I've seen the report, but I refuse to worry. I've seen the diagnosis, but I refuse to worry. Why is this important? Worry will rob you of your peace. Worry will rob you of your joy. Worry will rob you of your health. You find yourself losing weight. You're not even exercising. Worry will cause you to lose your energy. The Bible says, don't worry. I will show you how you can go around not worrying about it. Let me share a story with you quickly. Moses, you know Moses, the pastor for the Israelites. What you may not remember about Moses, he was a criminal. Am I still in the book? You know what Moses did? He killed somebody. He saw an Egyptian beaten on a Jewish boy. And then he become racist or civil defender, whatever you want to call him. So he jumped in the fight and killed that somebody. That's a crime. Thou shalt not kill. You're going to jail. Oh, goodness. Now, you all remember what happened. So he ran away. That's another crime. Fugitive from the law. You know I'm a lawyer. I know this thing. Then he was hiding in a neighborhood called Midian. Guess how long the Negro was hiding there? 40 years. And while he was hiding there, God showed up. God said, I want to use you. I want you to go back, and I want you to tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And I want you to tell your Jewish brothers and sisters that I have sent you to come and lead them. Here comes worry. You know what Moses said? Like you would have said. Moses said, what if? What if those Negroes don't believe me? What if Pharaoh himself don't believe me? There's a lot of what if. Moses was just throwing what if. What if? He was worried. That's what if is. Read the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 1. What if this? What if they don't listen to me? What if the question? What if they ask me your name? What if this? He just was asking all these questions because he was filled with worry. Now, the amazing thing about God, God never answered any of that. Look at God's answer in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, the next verse. Guess what God said? What is in your hand? Don't miss it. Moses' question was, what if? God's answer is, what is? There's a huge difference between what if and what is. God wants to take your what if and turn it into what is. I'm trying to help somebody. Moses, will you shut up? What is in your hand? Moses said, ain't nothing but a staff, a walking stick. But God said, throw it down. And I come to tell somebody, whatever is in your hand, throw it down. God will move you from what if this, what if that, what if, what if, what if, what if. Now you are rapping, what if. But God can move you from a land of what if to a land oop there is. Because when you throw down what is in your hand, God will turn it into a miracle. If you will just let go of your what if, God will turn what is in your hand to an amazing testimony. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. I just explained to you in a few minutes what the Bible is talking about. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in all your worry, if you will use prayer, if you will use supplication, if you will combine it with thanksgiving. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but maybe I'm preaching to my own self. I used to worry. Oh, but I worry so much, I even worry about whether my zipper is up before I come out. Because people will call me, they will text me, oh, your tie was crooked, oh, your zipper was that, oh, this, oh, that. You have such a amazing anointing, but oh, your shirt was wrinkled. They scared me to death. I couldn't function. I'd be worried, oh, it's the microphone. People will literally call you and let you know, Pastor, I'm trying to listen to you for God's sake, and the mic is not on. For God's sake, can't you just, yes, the glass you're wearing. Then I begin to worry about everything. But the Lord set me free. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. All this other stuff that people are playing politics and playing games. All this other stuff that people are killing each other for. God will add it to you for free. I want to pray with somebody today. I told you what I was worrying about. I told you my situation. But maybe you're here. Your situation may be different from mine. But God wants to set somebody free this morning. Everybody stand to your feet. And if you will be honest with the Holy Spirit and give him your what if, God will turn it into a what is. If you're that man, if you're that woman, Jesus said, if you will confess me before men and women of this world, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. I want you to find your way to the altar. We're going to talk to God about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about trouble. Martha, Martha, Martha. That gray ain't no heifer. He chooses what is more important. He said, you need to calm down. Life is not just about food. Clothing and oh, is my hair right? Oh, is my. Sometimes I have to ask my wife, how many times do you have to look at your hair? Stop worrying about it. It don't matter what it is today. I gave it to God. Call somebody and say, we want to pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you, oh God, that you don't leave us stranded. Thank you that you said even the numbers of hairs on our head, you know it. You know every detail about us. Before we ask, you know what we need. Whatever we are going through right now, some of us, we are concerned about our children. Some of us, we are concerned about our relationship. Some of us, we are concerned about our spouse. Some of us, we are concerned about our job. I mean, the list goes on and on. Some of us, we are concerned about our health. But you made it very clear. Don't worry about it. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you got our back. Thank you that you never leave us. Thank you, you never forsake us. Thank you that you stay closer even than our brother. There are different situations, different circumstances before this altar. Lord, you say, cast all your cares upon him. Oh, it's good to know you, God, cared for us. It's good to know you, God, got our back. It's good to know that our Heavenly Father watches over us. We put our health before you. We put our family before you. We put our job situation before you. We put our finances before you. We put our miracles, all of our needs. Touch us right now. Touch us right now. Oh God, touch us right now. Lord, you deliver me. You no respect of person. You the same God who set this preacher free. Lord, I pray you will have mercy upon every soul this morning. We worry too much. And the world is getting more and more crazier. We have to worry about inflation. We have to worry about government. We have to worry about interest rate. We have to worry about prices. It goes on and on. Lord, have your way in our life. Lord, we're believing you for miracles in the life of every family represented before this altar. Whatever is wrong, Lord, we know the things that are impossible with men, they are possible with God. Lord, I thank you for our miracles. Lord, I thank you for our breakthrough. Lord, I thank you for our healing right now. Lord, I thank you for our deliverance right now. Deliverance from worry, deliverance from fear, deliverance from anxiety. Deliverance from depression. Oh, God in Zion. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for our miracles. No more worries in the name of Jesus. No more worries in the name of Jesus. He that the Son of God set free. That woman, that man is free indeed. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shout hallelujah. 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 One more time. Give God your loudest hallelujah. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. I appreciate your willingness to study the Word of God with me. This is what it's all about. It's good to know more. The more we know, the stronger we are in Christ.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
brought to you by the American Institute of CPR.